Nobody wants to admit they believe in ghosts.
There are just a lot of unanswered questions.
Most people would be like, I like how people react when they hear about our podcast.
We were right.
There are things back here.
I don't want milk. It was a miracle. We must explain it.
We're doing a live recording today at Me Hang Low because there's been reports, actually, of possibly ghostly activity going on here.
This is a haunted restaurant.
It is. It was built in the 1800s, so right there, that means it's crawling haunted. With lost souls, right? Totally haunted. But there's also good noodles here, so you can't blame the ghosts for hanging out.
It makes everything a little bit better.
Totally no judgment if afterlife you want to come get noodles. You know, I mean, where would you hang out if you were a ghost?
I mean, noodles. Pasta in general, so but the here. Noodles here, yeah, I would hang out
so
here.
So you're kind of scoping the joint out until after.
I just had some of the lo mein with ginger sauce the other day, and so I'm hooked. This is where I'm hanging out.
This is true. I had the lo mein with the peanut sauce. And so I would totally come back from the dead for the lo mein and the peanut sauce. Or that, or like some boba shop, because I love boba. I would totally haunt a boba shop. Anyways, tonight in the spirit of haunted restaurants, we're going to talk about a few more haunted restaurants around the country and around the world where you could get a nice meal and possibly sit next to a ghost. That's my cheesy Travel Channel opening, guys. Da-na-na-na. All right, so... what our show is I tell a story, Paula tells a story, we don't know each other's stories, so our reactions and our snarky comments are genuine.
Yes.
I don't know what your stories are today. We just knew we were going to stick to restaurants, correct?
Yeah, restaurants. And I accidentally segued into a few hotels and inns, I realized today. Mostly restaurants.
The rules.
Surprise.
Okay, let's shut everything down now.
We're done.
We're
I
done.
Also wanted to acknowledge that tonight is a full moon.
Ooh. What does that mean? That I'll start howling for noodles in just 5 minutes.
It affects us all differently, but there really is. Hi, everybody. We've got more people coming
Hi,
in.
Welcome.
I don't know if you realized you'd be hearing some ghost stories tonight.
But that's what you're getting with your noodles. I heard it was a good... It's like the wine. Restaurant.
You pair noodles with ghost stories.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So what's your first story, Paula?
My first story is a local one. It's my only local story about the Paso Robles Inn.
You know, SLO had a lot of haunted places.
Yes, yeah. San Luis Obispo does. And we've talked about it.
Right.
From abandoned buildings to the Bluebird Inn in Cambria.
Yeah.
To all over. But the Paso Robles Inn, obviously in Paso Robles. And this, I rewrote it a little bit, but it's inspired from a story from the Tribune by Gabby Ferreira. Hi, everyone.
Hi. So Paso Robles...
Come hear some ghost stories.
I know. With your noodles. Paso Robles Inn is also a restaurant as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or did you just straight up off the gate, did not follow directions?
Oh, restaurants? We're doing restaurants?
We are in a haunted restaurant. So.
Yeah, the Paso Robles Inn has a really good restaurant and a little steakhouse there, too.
Oh, okay.
They have two.
It fits the criteria. You may go ahead.
So... In the inn part of the restaurant building?
Yes. There's a McDonald's in the corner, so technically that's a restaurant.
Even today, the front desk reportedly gets calls from room 1007 when no one is staying there.
What happened in room 107?
Yeah, once even dialed 911. Well, it's believed that the ghost is a former desk clerk named J.H. Emsley, the man who discovered a fire at the original El Paso de Robles Hotel in 1940. This is a really old hotel, and the one that stands today was rebuilt in 1945.
Oh, wow.
Except for the ballroom that survived this huge fire that burned the place down.
Yeah.
So Emsley reportedly sounded the alarm and cleared the hotel before it engulfed the structure, destroying everything except the ballroom. And that was a 49-year-old hotel. As soon as Emsley left the hotel that night, though, he had a heart attack and died.
Oh. So, no, let's give it up.
I'm sorry. I know. Let's take a moment to remember.
Paula was just like ready to go past that. She's like, yeah, and blah, blah, blah. He died. Anyways, did he come back and haunt the place?
That's what it's believed, that he's the one
calling.
Spoiler
alert.
We don't know why. No one knows why he's calling from room 1007. But he is.
He's called. Wait, so he calls the phone and
he
asks
calls the front
one?
Desk. Once he called 911, and often he calls the front desk.
From
he doesn't answer from room 1007.
I had for some reason that he was picking up the phone. Can I have room 1007? Teehee. And hanging
oh,
up
like
the phone.
Pranking like the pranking casserole the, scent.
Right. That's a fun ghost.
And he's not the only ghost there. A cook is rumored to have quit after he saw a woman wandering in the inn's gardens and disappearing. Other sightings include a ghostly little girl in the ballroom who is playing with marbles and a doll.
Oh, boy. What is it about little kids being ghosts that are totally freaky?
Well, because
they're supposed
kids.
To be good. They're supposed to be, like, cute little
You want
kids.
Them to move on to whatever the next thing is.
And then you add, like, little kid and the way that herky-jerky ghosts move.
The grin.
That's totally yeah. scary, right? Mm-hmm. So is do they have, like, tours or?
No, not that I know
can
of.
Can you get zero? Can you get room?
Yeah,
one,
you can book room 1007.
We should do a podcast there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And totally freak ourselves out.
I'll put
out.
That in our little notebook.
Which is funny.
We'll invite all of you.
I always want to go to these haunted places, but if something actually happened, like if something went on over there, I'd be the first one out of here, you guys. Bam.
And we know that for a fact because we did a podcast at a haunted Airbnb, and Siri, we didn't know there was a, it wasn't Siri, it was Alexa, I think. We didn't know there was an Alexa there, and I was like, what the hell is that?
Alexa started talking
and
to us.
And then she heard it, she turned, and we have video where she's flying over the coffee table, leaving me, and what she believes is danger.
I just feel like you should take the hint and follow. Like, why do
No, I sat there going, oh my gosh.
So she's going to die first in the movie.
What's happening?
And I'm out. So, I love you as a friend, but I don't know... If the paranormal came, I don't think I would think about saving you.
Yeah, it's
you,
that
Paula.
Whole thing. How fast can you run? As long as I can run faster than you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Wow. So, my particular restaurant is not in the country. It's in the UK. It's called Ooh. The Slug and Lettuce. I wouldn't even have
good.
To tell you that it was in the UK. Have you? Has anybody heard of the Slug and Lettuce? No one. So it's in Bailey Lane. It's an old bar. It's in the UK. So it used to be a courthouse at some point and then a jail. And then they're like, let's serve food in this jail / courthouse. And supposedly people have seen dark shadows lurking around the terrace, ghostly children scuttling around when the place is supposed to be empty. Come in.
The doorbell is part of the ambiance.
It really is.
Me Anglo.
But the scariest story is what happened to Victoria and Kaylee. So this is actually really recent. Okay. It just happened, regular girls' night out. Victoria and Kaylee were drinking, having fun at the old Slug and Lettuce. It's not in Ireland, so I don't know what just happened there.
That was a great accent.
Thank you. I've been perfecting my William Wallace for quite some time. So like any normal 20-something-year-olds, they decided to take a selfie. You know, they're enjoying a good time. And when the selfie okay. came out, she posted it on Snapchat, and somebody told her there was somebody behind her in the photo. Now, here's the thing. It was closing. So it was just the bartenders and them, and the bartender was right in front of them. And in the picture, and you can actually see it on the internet, there is what looks like a drunk lady who is in Victorian clothing. She's totally like this.
She's that guy.
She's, yeah. So, and they said that they didn't know, they knew there was no other person at the bar. That was the reason they took the picture, because they wanted the bar to look empty. And then that lady got into their picture. And Victoria, the girl that took the picture,
yeah.
was so creeped out by the photo that she deleted the picture on her phone. But it's all over the internet now.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. So, I don't know about you, but like a woman coming back from the dead to go to a pub to get drunk. I can hang with that.
Yeah. Apparently.
I feel like that's my ghostly spirit. I think that's what I would do. But I don't think I'd be at the pub, though. I'd be here or no.
As long as I have boba.
Right. As long as I have boba. I'm just trying to hype up Me Hang Low. I'd be at Me Hang Low's.
But then occasionally, England.
Right. To the pub. To the old Slug and Lettuce. What's your next
story? Well, it's funny because my next one is in England too. It's called The Mermaid Inn and Restaurant in Rye, England.
That whole place is haunted. See, that's what you
get. Well, there's just such history, it's such human history there.
Layers and layers of dead bodies buried everywhere.
Well, there are. Remember that story on Bath?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a cathedral or...
Well, it's full of bodies.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually sinking because of the... Oh, sorry. Not over dinner. Okay, quietly nod a negative and we'll quiet... Oh, hi, Shannon.
The bodies were made of cookies. It's totally fine. They were just crumbling.
Noodles.
English cookies.
Okay, so this was from the Paranormal Guide. With nearly 900 years of history, including duels, smugglers, crooked gangs, and murder most foul, we won't get more graphic than that, it is little wonder that this stunning relic of ages gone by has more than a few resident ghosts. If you visit the town of Rye in East Sussex, England, I expected you to make a joke when I wrote Sussex because there's a reality show about Sussex. Essex. Never mind.
But it has sex in it, so you're right. I probably would have made a joke if we weren't in this venue.
But if you want to share your room with someone new,
Then book
room one, which is called the James at the Mermaid Inn.
Because?
You may not sleep through the night. Through that large, luxurious antique bed where you go to snooze, you may wake up in the night to find that you are no longer alone.
Oh,
the
God.
Chair facing your bed is now occupied.
What?
I know. There's a lady dressed in white, sometimes gray, who reportedly sits there, an empty, blank expression on her face. She may look at you or just into the room, no particular direction. She'll stay visible for a minute or two before fading into nothing. And sometimes, though nothing I could find on the internet said why, but if you tossed your clothes over the chair, they'd be soaking wet.
What? Oh my God.
I know.
And you know, I think having a blank expression is scarier than having like a scary, you know, like a...
It kind of
like
gives you something to hang on to,
right, like,
if there's an emotion.
That ghost is angry, so I know where I'm going with that ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, that ghost is smiling. That ghost is in a good mood. But just a blank, I can't read you. I don't think people like that.
Yeah, something bad's about to happen.
Ghosts in the middle of the night at the foot of my bed. Like, you know, like read me a story. Do something. Come on. God.
Crawl into bed.
Right?
At least, hello. At least 20% of the rooms at the Mermaid Inn are haunted.
20%?
20% of all the rooms. There's a man who walks through the bathroom wall in the fleur-de-lis room, crosses past the bed to disappear near the opposite wall, or maybe you accidentally stumble into the Elizabethan chamber where bottles have been reported to fall off the shelves, or the man who sits on occupied beds in the Hawkhurst suite.
What's with these people? These ghosts don't have personal space issues.
Well, it's a really, so this, like the building you were talking about in England,
yeah.
It started as something else and then evolved into the inn and restaurant it is today. This started as a pharmacy, goes back, the cellars of the building date back all the way to the 12th century, the year 1156. So it's a very, very long history. The underground sections of the inn used to store wine. That's the oldest part of the building. Built of stone, they are the sole remains of the original inn built on that site. Burned to the ground, though, in the 1300s by the French. About 50 years after that attack, the inn was rebuilt and served as the main inn in town.
Wow. So it has a lot of history.
Yeah. Most of the materials are from old ships.
Most of them not fun.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
There was a gang oriented in the town of Hawkhurst in Kent, but as their influence extended far beyond their town, they set up several other locations where they could ply their rather illegal trade, smuggling and all that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so a lot of people...
Is that so it's still open?
Oh, yeah, it's still open. Yeah, we can go there. We can do a podcast there, too.
That's perfect. This is basically what we did, is we were just looking at places we could podcast.
Yeah. We're mapping out our future.
Really. We're mapping up our world tour.
The previous landlord and a medium walking through the establishment claimed to have slipped in time for a moment.
Ooh, time slips.
When the two suddenly witnessed a duel playing out before their eyes.
Oh, my God.
I know. The fight was said to carry...
They instigated.
Carry through, yeah. But it was inside, and it moved through several rooms before one man ran through with his blade before concealing the corpse beneath a floorboard.
Can you imagine?
Is that okay?
Up?
Can we talk about corpses just lightly on the surface? Okay.
Can you imagine if you woke up to like a duel? Like, I don't even know what I think I would
Are
start
walking?
Rooting for somebody. Like, put bets on people. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You might as well. They're in
you
in
the red. Well, they're walking through, apparently, though. So you're walking along and you're seeing the inn as it is,
yeah.
And then suddenly there's a duel and they're running through the house, shooting each other.
With my phone. Oh, my God. Because that's what I would do.
If you could get a signal.
If you, true, right? All right. Is that the...
Yeah, okay. That's the end of the Mermaid Inn.
So mine is called Muriel's in New Orleans. If you guys ever been there, Muriel's is one of the most famously haunted restaurants in the country. They all of them say that.
We they really do. I was just thinking, I have one that says that too.
Yeah, we really need to make a definitive list. It's located in the famously haunted New Orleans, and the restaurant was founded back in 1718 and has a lot of history. So it was once a cottage owned by French-Canadian Claude, and I'm going to butcher his name, Claude Trepagnier.
Okay, let me see.
It's probably Trepagnier.
Oh yeah, that sounds better.
Let's just call him Claude. Let's call him Claude.
Okay, we'll call him Claude.
Claude in 1721 became a mansion of the royal treasurer of the French Louisiana colonies, a city home of Pierre Philippe de Boubebou French in 1776. And then after rebuilding from the Great New Orleans Fire in 1774, the dream home of its most infamous owner, Pierre Antoine Lepardy Jourdan. What happened to just two names? Like, let's double up with four. So he is supposedly the one that is haunting. Like, he cannot let go of his dream home. He lost the home in a sour gambling bet.
Ooh.
And apparently committed suicide before he could actually hand it over. So he really was not about to give up his home.
He killed himself at the house?
He killed himself.
Okay.
I don't know if it's at the house. Oh, no, here it is. He died on the second floor of the building back in 1814.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Muriel's, there have been a lot of paranormal sightings at the restaurant ever since. So did not give up the house, said, I'll kill myself first, and still hangs out. So apparently
is that a pun intended? Is that how he killed himself? I don't know.
Voila.
We need a drum.
So I don't know if he did, but if he did.
Good one.
There's a presence that most people can feel, they said. A guest recently said, you have to be there to understand it. There's one table that is left unavailable. Every night, though, it gets set with tableware, bread, and wine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's said it's for the previous owner, Pierre, because he has a standing reservation. In fact, if you guys go there, that table is always empty. It always has bread and wine every day. So he's getting treated right.
Wow.
The wine has never disappeared. Maybe he's off of it. but he has been known to knock a bottle of wine off the shelf, perhaps to make his presence known. So they've never seen him manifest, but they've seen, you know, strange orbs in pictures they've taken. And they said they've also had many guests over the years send photos, and it looks like there's something hanging out in the back.
Oh, my God. Kind of
like
he's showing up in pictures, too.
He's showing up in pictures, but, like, no wine. He's done with wine. I say give him a 40. Maybe he has different tastes in the paranormal. What if you do have different tastes in the paranormal?
Yeah, maybe.
Wine seriously gives him a headache.
I like whiskey now.
Right?
No more wine for me.
Give me a red ball. What is it? A fireball.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a shot of a fireball. Why not? So go ahead. What's your next one?
Okay, from Thrillist by Kristen Hunt. That's the story that inspired this. Ernestine and Hazel's. That's from Memphis, Tennessee. It's
Ooh,
a legendary bar, considered the best dive bar in Tennessee. Again, that's one of those, you know, their marketer
yeah,
or their
the
mom
best.
Came
we're
up with that
haunted.
Name. It's home of the America's Best Burger, they say.
We're also the number one podcast in San Luis Obispo. I can say that.
Oh, we actually are that.
We actually are.
Thanks, Jules. But it's also a building with a rich, troubled past. The two-floor labyrinthine bar began life as a pharmacy. Oh, that happens a lot. That's interesting. In the late 1930s, but also did time as a brothel, concert hall, and cafe.
Oh, God. They covered all things. Brothel and pharmacies, apparently.
A town has many needs.
So,
and that one building fulfilled most of them
through the course of its history.
Well, I mean,
it was a useful building.
Occasionally.
So, but it seems like those are the two that get haunted, pharmacies and brothel.
And it is funny.
I'm going to have to cancel my brothel opening then.
Unless we can podcast from there. We can birds with one stone.
Times are tough. No.
All right. Rumor has it, 13 different folks met their maker in the walls of Ernestine and Hazel's. None of them really left. The sound of phantom piano music emits from upstairs during off hours. Footsteps thump night and day. The jukebox turns on periodically with a needle drop eerily irrelevant to what's happening at the moment. For instance, one employee told a tale of a conversation about James Brown, and then music started playing. I feel good. Na, 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 na. On the dead jukebox. So it wasn't
So even the dead jukebox came to life.
Andrew's making scared noises. Apparitions are part of the crowd. Customers and employees alike report being touched by phantom hands.
Oh, creeper ghosts.
We've all had that happen in a bar.
This is true.
Can be scary.
And apparently they still hang around until afterwards.
Yeah, start playing the piano.
It really is to their advantage that they're ghosts, though. They can totally creep up. Anyways. So my other one is called White Horse Tavern, Newport, Rhode Island. So White Horse Tavern is haunted, not surprisingly. It's the oldest tavern in America. It's actually a national historical landmark.
Oh.
Originally built as a home by Francis Brindley in 1652, the two-story tavern was transformed into a tavern in 1673. So it's been a tavern for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next century, it also serves as a meeting place for the city council and the criminal court. So the story is what the haunting started was. Two men showed up at the tavern in 1720s and they were looking for a room. The next day, one was found dead by the fireplace.
Whoa.
And the other one was gone. So bad Yelp review. right? Came there, had great expectations, and then I died. Okay, now people say there is a resident ghost by the fireplace, and visitors will see it all the time, and it's a man dressed in clothes from the colonial period.
Oh.
So, yeah, no Amazon Prime in the afterlife. Can't order new clothes. He's hanging out by the fireplace, and he's also been seen in the men's bathroom. Talk about creepy. Some visitors have also claimed to see a woman wandering around the tavern and only to disappear by the fireplace.
It's all around the fireplace.
It's something about this fireplace.
Okay.
I bet if you like dig a little, bones. Right?
Yeah.
Numerous visitors, especially when they're near the bathrooms, have even told of hearing a little girl crying.
Oh, there we
but
go.
But seeing no one. That's how I bummed the whole room out.
Damn, Elaine, that was a really good story.
That was a great story about a girl that can't find the light.
Do you have another one like that with a dead child?
Top it off with a dead animal. Go.
I started with the dead child, though, so.
I'm just bringing it back around.
All right, so this one is from the New Haven Register by Jean Falbo Saznovich.
Look at you giving sources. I completely forgot.
Oh, you have to.
Please don't sue me. By the way, this episode will be out next Friday if you guys want to re-listen to this without.
Yeah, so if you want to yell out from the crowd so you can hear your voice later, do it, by all
totally
means.
Totally do it. And if you guys have ghost stories, we will happily take them after our stories. Just come on up and we'll tell them. I will tell them. We'll interpret them if you don't want to be on the mic, Right.
That's actually a really good idea.
Just whisper it.
Maybe we can ask anyone later how you feel about the full moon, because we've got a full moon tonight. Those of you who came in later.
I mean, feel free to do.
If you have any full moon stories or you're feeling affected tonight.
Interpretive dance is also welcome.
Not just verbal communication.
No. We're about everything. This is a safe space. You can share.
All right. So now this story takes place in... where's this at? Oh, New Haven. So when Sarah Tigrett first saw objects moving on their own inside her popular Berlin restaurant called Ramen Ye, I don't know how it's pronounced. I'll say Ramen Ye. How do you think, Andrew?
Ramen Ye.
All right, Ramen. It's okay, Ramen Ye. There we go. She thought she was going a little crazy. But after reaching out to a paranormal investigation team, Tigrett learned her mind wasn't playing tricks on her, but rather she has a friendly ghost haunting the place, and his name is Ben.
How does she know his name?
Glad you asked.
Thank you. I'm here for the good segues, smooth segues.
We might not find out just yet, but okay. We will eventually.
Okay.
Tigrett opened her Japanese restaurant in 2017. Not long after opening, Tigrett noticed some unusual things, often between 1 and 4 a.m. caught on surveillance cameras.
Oh, that's never good.
I know.
That's within the witching hour. 3 a.m., which I won't go to the bathroom between 3 to 4 a.m.
That's a real thing with Elaine. She won't.
I won't do
We've
it.
Had this discussion repeatedly.
I won't do it. I'll hold it. I'm not peeing on the witching hour. Never pee on the witching hour.
You could always text me. I mean, if you want to, like, someone on the phone. I'm just saying I'm that kind of friend.
You're so... I picked the right co-host, honestly.
I'll be with you.
Oh, good.
All right. First, there were heavy bags of flour seemingly moving on their own. Then, a mallet flew across the dining room, and a pair of tongs rotated in the air and fell to the ground.
Oh. I just feel like...
No. Is that too much?
I wish ghosts would do something like cook me a meal.
I just think they can't. They have a hard time communicating.
But, like, if you're going to grab the tongs... Do something.
Grab a piece of chalk, really, for God's sake.
Prove your presence.
Grab a pen.
Right? Make me some orange chicken.
Another time, doors were seen closing by themselves, but Tigrett really became concerned when she saw what appeared to be a man's legs wearing work boots and standing behind some boxes.
Oh, God.
After closing up one night, she was convinced an intruder had gotten inside the building, but after searching the area, she realized the doors were still locked. No one could have gotten in. That's when Tigrett...
Ghostly?
I love that you're having a hard time processing.
I mean, ghosts are bad enough, but just, like, ghostly body parts? Like, I'm just...
Oh, I know, just...
There's just feet.
Well, I think the rest of him was blocked.
How do you know?
You know, I'm trying to make sense of it. It's really difficult.
We'll be okay, Paul.
That's when she decided to enlist the help of a paranormal investigator.
Right.
And she says, at first I thought that maybe I was going crazy. And then the town's fire marshal, after seeing the videos, told her to contact a paranormal team.
Really?
We can't help you.
We don't specialize in that.
But we have some ghost hunters.
And we have a Ouija board in the trunk.
So good luck.
And goodbye.
Bye. Rose Porto, founder and head investigator at CT Spirit, and her team spent the night at Ramen Ye on February 23rd. That was this year.
Yeah.
And when all the mist, shadowy figures, and orbs cleared, determined the restaurant was definitely haunted.
So did they get like a certificate?
They're like, okay,
definitely
orbs,
haunted.
If it were just orbs and mist, we're like, I don't know. I don't know.
Just be dust.
Oh, shadowy figures.
Floating
that's all three.
Feet.
Yeah.
That's three, three stars right there.
Yeah.
Floating feet.
So you're haunted.
Okay. Scuttling. All that good stuff.
In the case of Ramen Ye, Tigrett's suspicions that she's not alone, especially after hours, were confirmed by Porto's team. During the investigation, my team and I, this is her quote from Porto, my team and I had numerous experiences. We saw a man's shadow in the kitchen area on several occasions. We caught flying energy balls of light on our...
Ghosts on monster drinks.
Yeah, the energy. They're going to stroke out. Just give them a minute.
Just give them a minute. You don't need an exorcism.
Yeah. Just wait. It'll get them. Let's see. That was caught on the night video cameras. We got intelligent responses from our ghost box.
Really?
Giving us the name Ben. Oh. That's how they got the name Ben. And confirming that he was a worker from the area.
So how many of you folks know what a ghost box is? So a couple of you folks. So a ghost box, what? And you're like, let me enlighten you. I actually just found out about this because I was watching one of those like ghost adventure, ghost hunting places. And it's basically a radio that goes through all this, these stations, radio stations, at like less than a second. So it's just basically, that's all you hear. And so whatever comes out of it, they say an energy or a spirit, it's really easy for them to manipulate. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you'll get words coming out. So they use that to ask it questions. So there's no possible way that you could hear a word from a radio station because it's going so fast. So it would have to be like three radio stations they'd be going past really quickly to get an actual word.
Yeah.
So that's why they think that spirit boxes are something to use. I'm kind of like about it.
I don't know if they're true or not, but they do use them on a lot of those ghost hunting shows you see on TV.
Yeah, and half the time the words they hear don't really correlate with like what they're asking. I like a good old EVP recording. I've heard EVP recordings.
And what does the EVP do?
Extra something phenomena. Something voice phenomena. Thanks. I didn't get that. But yeah, it's basically they put in usually like a tape recorder and they'll leave it on and they'll ask it questions and you won't hear the answer until afterwards when you rewind it. Yeah. So, yeah, one of the most haunted places I've ever seen that they did that and, like, super clear voice was the hotel that inspired The Shining.
Yeah.
I mean, you could even, in Denver, when you were watching the show, it was called Ghost Hunters, they actually heard something laughing.
Oh.
Yeah, that's fun, right?
Yeah.
It was scary. Laughing, and it was a dead-end kind of room, so, yeah.
So when they heard the name Ben, they would have been hearing like...
Yeah, they would have been...
Ben.
Ben.
Yeah.
Like that. Did you like that?
Yeah.
It was uncanny.
I felt like there was a ghost box.
Yeah. I really took it on as a character. Thank you. And scene.
Well done.
Thank you.
Porto said historical data shows at one time the area was alive with blacksmiths, farms and mills where Romagny is situated today. According to town records, the building was built in 1963. That's the current building. Mm-hmm. And several other businesses occupied the space, including a European deli, which really has nothing to do with the story. But, you know, it was there once.
But it's, you know, it's a restaurant. It serves food. It's stuck to our
I like to know where a nice European deli is located nearby.
Right? No kidding.
The spirit told us through our devices that he liked Sarah and was there to help her work, Porto said. We had asked the spirit to make our REM pod, which is a ghost detecting device that radiates its own electromagnetic ring. They asked it to go off, and at one point, it was beeping for a full 6 minutes.
There's so many little gadgets now.
So many little gadgets.
You know, you could find
they
it
all
at
have to
Amazon.
Do with electricity. Well, not all electricity.
Frequency.
But different, yeah, frequencies frequency. Too, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what they think ghosts are, right?
Yeah. Tigrit spent the night with the team and couldn't believe the amount of activity that occurred. Aside from the crazy, this is her now, aside from the crazy amount of orbs that we were picking up on the cameras and little things that look like dust particles when you see going through a video, these are bigger and...
They're bigger energy balls.
They're like super big energy balls that go across the video. Sometimes they'll go into a wall and they don't have wings. You know, they try to detect whether or not...
Well, you've seen the orbs that are just like just dust.
Yeah.
And then, like, you see, sometimes you see orbs that, like, stop midair and be like, la, 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 go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
That's not dust. It could, you know.
So aside from the crazy amount of orbs we were picking up on the cameras, we could actually see a mist manifest and block out a grid light system that was set up to see if anything materialized. And that was Tigrit talking. Mm-hmm. Then she added, we also heard Ben's voice. The part that made me think it was real was when they used the spirit box. See that all these gadgets.
They love that spirit box.
And he was answering every question and stated that his name was the nickname we gave him in the restaurant, which was Ghost Coon. I don't know why.
Dude, so he was like straight up having a conversation.
No, he was completely into it. He was aware of the living humans around him, apparently.
Yeah.
If this story is accurate.
To be believed.
So, and Tigrit, the story ends, Tigrit says, Ben actually has been very good for business with a lot of regular customers inquiring about new sightings or events. Several customers have claimed to have witnessed weird things at Ramenier, including a music box playing, feeling of being watched, and a man's figure.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, I know. They're going to do another investigation on April 6th.
So, like...
So, we should try to get there.
Right? What goes good with ghosts? What kind of meal did they serve,
you know? Noodles. Well, ramen... Right?
No, I meant like at this. I thought this was an English.
No, not this one.
Oh.
No, this one is a Japanese restaurant.
Wow, where did I go?
Well, we were in England
a minute ago.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we are at Stone's Public House in Ashland, Massachusetts. So Stone's Public House, a pretty grisly history. The place is named after John Stone, who was the original owner. He constructed the building as a hotel in 1834. And then after learning that a railway was going to be built through his property, he just kind of started, you know, not really looking after the restaurant. In its first few years, it accommodated mostly migrant workers employed in Boston during the week. And according to stories, Stone supposedly killed one of the boarders who had won a big card game there in 1845.
God.
So Mr. Stone, not a good sport. No. Maybe you don't play Monopoly with that guy. And he supposedly buried this guy in the basement. Oh. He made a few witnesses help him bury the body. You there. And swore them to secrecy. And now supposedly all of them haunt the bar. And they make a lot of messes. I don't know what kind of mess.
All of them. So the guys who helped bury the body, did he kill them too?
No, it doesn't say that they did.
They just came back.
But they just came back. Like, that was a great side gig. I really... So... After Stone's death in 1858, W.A. Scott purchased the hotel and didn't do so well. It fell into disrepair. And then following the Civil War, business at the inn began to slow. It seemed like it was already kind of slow. How much slower could it be? It took its toll on the Scott family, and all three of Scott's sons became alcoholics. Yikes. Two of them dying of cirrhosis of the liver before they reached 40. Dang.
Oh.
The third son, George Scott, felt the negative effects of the alcohol in a different way. So apparently, George Scott just went nuts. I mean, to put it. Francis, they recounted how in a drunken rage, he attacked a woman in the hotel and subsequently was committed to a mental institution. So we can't really say he went nuts because they were committing everybody to mental institutions.
But he did attack a guest
jail,
at the hotel.
Not mental institution, right? He was drunk.
If
he attacked
was
a
drunk.
Woman. Just hanging. Oh, sorry. No, but mental institution. But they were admitting everybody in a mental
institution.
Yeah, I
would like to know what they diagnosed him as having.
Right. Serious, crazy drunk. That was the official diagnosis. But George Scott died before his 50th birthday of general paralysis, according to the death certificate. General paralysis?
General paralysis.
Yeah. So he had paralysis, but it was super vague. You don't really know where he was. So anyways... Following the death, I'm sorry, I don't mean to make fun of poor old George. Following the death of his three sons and then a fire in 1889, Scott, the father, got malaria and he became delusional. He said he wanted to be with his sons and he got a pistol, went to his bedroom and tried to kill himself.
Oh my God.
Here's the thing. He was super bad at it. The first one just grazed him. Just so he was like, I can't. When he tried to shoot him, and then he tried to shoot himself in the chest the second time. Guess what? Still alive. And the third shot completely missed him. So Maybe.
Wow.
He should have hired somebody else.
So did he die from malaria?
The only thing that could kill him. He sounded like a superhero. The third shot was actually heard by a female worker, and she went to help him, and he lived another 10 years. Begrudgingly, I'm
okay,
sure.
Okay, not help him, like... Okay, when you say help him, you don't mean like she took the gun, she's like, look.
Like, this is how you do it. No. She went to help him, and he lived for another 10 years. So he was just
so he was cured of malaria, too.
Yeah, wow. He was apparently cured. He's a superhero. And they also think this place has connections to the Underground Railroad. When they did renovations, they found a ladder leading down into the floor. The tiny room that was discovered, it had a bed, there was a water bucket, cups, and other artifacts. There also used to be a tunnel that ran to the front of the building to the train and depot across the street. So perfect place.
Every kind of railroad.
Yeah. So paranormal researcher and Ashland firefighter Dave Redelick said he had some strange experiences there. Two instances of electric voice phenomena. That's what EVP means.
Oh, okay.
Electric voice phenomena, or the presence of voices. They can hear it on the audio recording, but it's not actually audible in person.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the story of the Stone Public House in Ashland, Massachusetts, which you could still go to and, you know, talk smack about John Stone. Like, come on, dude.
Remember that time?
Remember that time where you tried to shoot yourself and totally missed three times?
Well, over in Wisconsin.
Tell us what's going on in Wisconsin.
At the Walker House, it started as a cave carved out of limestone.
That's already haunted.
Right, like this will not end well.
This doesn't end well.
Carved out of limestone and sandstone rock by Cornish miners who used the place. Well, they used the space to live and work in the 1820s. Then in 1836, the miners expanded it into a small stone house. Then a 15,000 square foot block long three-story building in the late 1850s. So they kept expanding this structure or this space.
Usually don't like renovations. That's when they come out.
No, we do find that to be true.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. The Walker House fed and lodged travelers coming off the train at the Mineral Point Depot across the street. These days, diners can stop in for lunch on Mondays. I left this in just because I felt like, oh my God, how... I mean, it's not really smooth, but...
But, like, love the
But
plug,
these
right?
days...
And get Fridays and Mondays. On Wednesdays.
It's funny that they're only open
and
Fridays
and
Mondays.
And come in before 5 to get dollar drinks.
They can have lunch in two of the original caves, the front patio and the restored Cornish pub, which serves Cornish beef pasties, a handheld meat pie.
now we know.
It was the sustenance for miners back in the day.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're also finished pasties. Yeah. I'm sure they're mini pasties. Be sure to leave some pasty crust on your plates to appease the Tommyknockers, elf-like ghosts who purportedly live in the caves. But they're not the only specters here. I feel like I need to read this whole thing like a radio ad. But they're not the only specters here.
There's more.
There's more.
But wait.
Co-owner Kathy Villancourt says psychics and paranormal investigators have identified 22 ghosts throughout the Walker House's colorful history. There's William Caffey, who has been sighted looking for his head.
Oh, don't you hate?
What?
I hate when that happens.
I know.
I'm like, I go in a room and wait, oh my God.
Retrace your steps. Where did you put it? Where did you last see it?
I came in, I put my head down. Okay.
And then the phone rang. Yeah.
And then I couldn't answer it, and that's how I knew.
Yeah, I was like, oh crap. Yeah.
We totally killed that joke. Just beat it.
Yeah. Death all around.
Right. That's our theme.
He was legally hanged nearby, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Like, apparently.
Oh, that's why he's looking for his head?
Yeah.
Did his head fall off?
Apparently.
Dang, that's some serious hanging.
Yeah, they don't usually lose their heads on that.
Right. They're all in on that hanging.
Yeah.
Right. Razor wire. Go.
Yeah. The lady in black who helped President Lincoln write his Gettysburg Address, that is in no way verified. The little girl in blue running in the hallway looking for her room.
That's why she's haunting the place. I helped write that.
Guys, that's my speech.
I was not credited.
You son of a...
Like, you're just sleeping. And she's like, guess what I helped write? And at 3 a.m. Right?
The last ghost I want to mention...
Oh, sorry.
...is the ghost cat sunning himself in the west windows.
Aw, I'll take a ghost cat. That's so cool. Right? Better than cats. Somebody, like... saying their resume to me at 3 a.m.
It's like, we don't care.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, like, be a ghost and be like, I used to write for Playboy. You know that? That was a good...
That's a true statement.
That was a humble brag. and now she doesn't. Let's not get into it. So mine is called Captain Tony's Saloon. So 1865, bad hurricane here at Florida Keys. And water was everywhere. The city morgue that eventually became Captain Tony's Saloon suffered. The corpses that were waiting to be buried or have an autopsy were washed away. Yikes. Except for one. One was just hanging on. The one body was found lying in front of the building, and later they buried the body beneath the building. This is a strange statement. It said, beneath the building, surrounded by holy water and enclosed by a wall where the pool room resides. How?
That seems intentional.
It feels like the logistics of that would be super hard. Mm-hmm. How about just bury him at a gravesite? That would be easier. But let's bury him into the wall. Lots of holy water. You can get surplus... You can get like a tub of holy water at Costco. I have so many questions about that. But yeah, that's it. There's also a lady in blue. So when it became a pub, the saloon expanded, and they built the building around a tree that was once used for hangings. Ooh. Wow. Way to like up the ambiance, right?
I know.
What could possibly go wrong? Well, let me tell you. One of the folks that were lynched or hung from this tree included a woman who apparently murdered her two sons and her husband. She was hung in a blue dress, and it was covered. I'm sorry if you guys are eating, but her blue dress was covered in the victim's blood. Mm. Now, how did that happen? Like, they caught her that fast and... Like, justice immediately, right? Well, I just saw her killing her husband, so walk down the street and hang her. Yeah, no, but she had the victim's blood on her dress when they hung her. So, like, how long did it take to catch?
So they didn't let her
change. I think that's just rude.
Anyways,
many say she's the first ghost to inhabit Captain Tony's, and apparently she's been seen many times, and they refer to her as... Lady in Blue. Super clever.
No.
And then there's something called Elvira's Grave. So when they were conducting construction, they removed some of the old flooring of the restaurant. And workers discovered the skeletal remains of several people and a grave marker of a woman named Elvira.
Ooh.
I know. I just want to sing that song. Elvira. Okay. You didn't know you would get serenaded today on top of everything, right? We bring it all. We're a variety show. It's believed that these may be one of the missing bodies from the hurricane. So all, you know, the bodies that they found. Ghostly experiences have ranged from the bathroom stalls opening, slamming clothes, and then locking themselves.
Ooh.
God, I get nervous when somebody tries to go into my stall and I'm in there. I'm like, oh, no. Can you imagine?
Yeah, there's a bathroom fears.
The bathroom fears, right? Right. So the bar owner, she was actually skeptical, or he was actually skeptical, and his mind changed when one night, alone at 4 a.m., he heard a voice calling out to him.
Ooh.
Oh, God. He went to investigate. Stupid. I don't investigate.
No.
I've been by going home now. But he went to investigate and saw no one was there. He walked to the back of the bar, noticed the back doors were now wide open, even though he had locked them hours before. So he couldn't explain the voice, thought maybe someone had came in and just like was trying to scare him and then didn't lock the doors after themselves. Mm-hmm. So it happened again, though. This time, the voice also said, "Don't leave." And I'm like, "Sorry." Yeah. So Joe again checked the back doors, found them locked. He saw nothing out of the ordinary, went home. At 6 a.m., Joe then gets a call from the police saying they found the body of a young teenage girl in front of the bar. She had called her mother after overdosing on pills. And her mother called the police, and they found her body in front of Captain Tony's. So Joe believes the voice was telling him to stay, and now he pretty much kicks himself in the butt because he thinks he might have been
able... Oh, he could have protected her.
Right, he might have been able to save God, the girl's life. Oh, God, that's awful. I know. Oh, God. So other bar patrons have described cold spots in the hallway near the ladies' room. So far... A pharmacy is usually not a brothel, and it seems like restrooms.
Yes.
A lot of action going on in the restrooms. One patron reported to getting third-degree burns on his hands an hour after touching the tree that stands inside the bar. See?
Oh, hanging tree?
The hanging tree that they decided to use for their decoration, and he got a burning sensation, and so they think the tree is diseased. No, I'm kidding. That was me. It's like the tree. Burning sensation. All right. I'm sorry. That was a bad joke. I didn't quite hit the mark.
No, I was just listening raptly, like, oh my God, it was diseased?
It was seen with other trees. They call the tree.
Just making a lot of bad decisions.
Right, making a lot of bad decisions. So don't touch that. So do you have another story?
Okay, I think we have time for one more each.
Okay, one more.
This one is from The Mysterious Universe by Paul Seaburn, and it's about a cafe in Texas. Oh. The owner of this cafe in Texas decided to close it down after a closed-circuit security camera recorded what appeared to be paranormal activity.
That could be anything.
I know. "We are closed today to make sure everyone is safe," said April Ward, owner of the OnLive Walk of Fame Cafe in San Antonio, Texas. "I still get chills. My husband won't come in here. It's weird. It's crazy."
So they didn't get, like, specific on the paranormal activity. She just closed it down.
Well, she's going to get specific.
Oh, okay.
She's getting specific. Ward went to work the morning of June 19, 2018 to find barricades in front of the cafe knocked down. The barricades were, they put them up to protect the Walk of Fame, which honors famous musicians. It's a music venue. This has happened before, but Ward became concerned the following day when they were knocked down again. To see if someone had broken in, even though no alarm had gone off, she and her husband checked the security video. That's when they saw something that they both believed was a ghost. "You can see the image of a little boy," they said, "but then again, you can almost see a man."
God.
With that, Ward decided to close the cafe.
I could take on a little boy, but...
But a man? With that, Ward decided to close the cafe and bring in a paranormal expert. The expert brought both audio and video recording devices, recorded a voice saying his name was Peter. He was 4 years old, and he was there with five other ghosts named Don, Tammy, Jesse, Amber, and Steven. So he's very specific.
So they split the rent evenly, I hope. Who pays for cable? Right?
The expert asked Peter to knock down the barriers again, which Ward said she witnessed. The expert then asked the ghost to give them a sign, like break or throw something, if he didn't want them to be there. Nothing happened.
Oh.
That was enough to convince April Ward that she was safe to reopen the cafe. Not surprisingly, she announced a new menu addition. I don't know why it's not surprising. $1 friendly ghost floats. That was not me. That was the writer.
That was the writer. Oh, my God.
Do you have another one?
No.
Okay,
guys,
well, that's
our time is up. Thank you so much for joining us on this
recording.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. I hope you guys enjoyed our ghost story with your meal. We also hope the ghosts in Mihanglo enjoyed our stories and know they're not alone in their restaurant shenanigans. This episode will be available next Friday. How do you listen to us? We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, almost anywhere you listen to a podcast, mm-hmm. just type in wait, what? With
three A's.
With three A's. And you'll see our funny faces pop up. And this is what we do. Comedy, paranormal. We bring the creepy and the funny together. And go to our website if you don't have a music app. It's waitwhatpodcast.com.
Correct.
Three A's. Buy some Christmas gifts from our online store. See, I'm just totally thinking us. And see where we're having our live show next. We're doing a lot more live shows like this in the near future. We have a couple.
Got a big one at the Siren coming up early next year.
Yes. And if you guys have a creepy story of your own you don't want to share with us right now, you can go to our website and share your creepy story, whatever it may be, and we might read it on our next show.
We definitely will.
Yes.
Does anyone have a creepy story they want to tell right now?
No creepy stories?
Okay. We'll save it. Just write it to us.
Just write it to us. So thank you for having us. We hope to do this again.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Go
you
have
for
some
having
nightmares.
Us. Yeah. Nightmares and noodles. That should be a new
nightmares and noodles
menu item, right?